so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Into dancing. He's turning sorrow into joy. Amen. Come on. He's the only one who can. We didn't come here for a show. We didn't come here for lighting effects. We didn't come here for a feel good. We come here to worship the God in heaven who's the only one who can turn sorrow into joy and mourning into dancing. Come on. Who can run out of a grave with life and hope in his hands, amen. Come on, Heavenly Father, I pray for every person here. God, we donate this time to you. God, we're asking you to use this moment as a reset. God, to reset our hearts, to reset our eyes on you, to reset our faith. May it rise and rise and rise in our hearts in Jesus' name. God, I ask that as we donate this time to you, that you would use it right now to encourage every heart. That you would use it to lift up every eye that has been cast down. God, that you would use it to bring hope, to bring help in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, amen. You can honk your horn if that's what you want to do, amen. Before we get cracking with the sermon, I got a couple of housekeeping things for you. Number one, if you're new here today, thank you so much for coming to Eternity Church tonight. We're so glad that you're here. If you're new in the parking lot or if you're new online, however you're joining us this evening, please go to myeternity.com/new. And when you go there, fill out the form. That just gives us an opportunity to be generous. Generosity is one of the core values of our church, and we love to be generous. So please give us the opportunity to bless you by filling out that form. You'll receive a sweet gift in the mail this week that one of our gloved up and masked up people will have packaged for you. So God bless you. Please do that. Another couple of things to let you know as you leave today. If you go in the right lane, honk your horn for right. Come on, honk your horn if you heard me say right lane. Good. Because last night there was some confusion, but you all seem smarter than that crowd. I'm kidding. Last night, people, you were amazing. But on the way out, go to the right lane if you want to take a bag of food for your family or for another family that you know. I'd encourage you to do that. If you know someone in need, someone who's lost a job, someone who could do with a little bit of extra food, please go and take that bag of food for them and give them your name or the name of the person you're taking it for. And we just want to bless people. If you want to go, just leave. You can go on the left. Also on the left, one of our staff will be there with an offering bucket, and you'll be able to throw checks at people or coins if you want to just, you know, it's like 10 bucks if you hit someone in the eye with a coin. So we're playing that game tonight as well. So God bless you. Another thing you can do as well, we want to make sure that we have looked after and blessed everyone in our church. So if you haven't got a phone call in the last 2 weeks, could you please go to myeternity.com/known, KNOWN. Fill out that form on there. Let us know who you are. Just make sure your details are correct. If you do that, we just want to be able to pray for you and cover your family in the grace, the favor, and the power of God. Amen. So do that. That'd be great. And for some of you, for many of you, this is probably the first time you've been out of your house in like a week or in 2 weeks. In fact, honk your horn if this is the first time you've been out of your house in a week. There's a couple. Come on. There's a couple. Let's play a little game. We're going to play a game called Honk Your Horn If, all right? honk your horn if, all right? Honk your horn if this is the first time you've worn clothes to church in the last 3 weeks. Yeah, let's all be honest. Y'all have been coming to church online in your underwear for the last 4 weeks. So I'm glad you got dressed for us this evening. Honk your horn if you still love your kids. Good, 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 good. I did sense a delay there. Maybe honk your horn if you've Googled the words adopting out my children in the last 2 weeks. Honk your horn if this is the first time that you've worn makeup in 3 weeks. Yeah, honk your horn, Brandon. Honk your horn. Honk your horn if you've Googled marriage counselors over Zoom. I think that's my wife honking her horn. She's for sure done that. I know Lauren has. Where are you, baby? Oh, she's over there talking as usual. No, I'm just kidding. Love you, baby. She can't even hear me. Hey, I want to encourage you, though. Like, in all seriousness, it's tough being cooped up in your house. I get that. We've got 5 kids, and if you think your kids are crazy, you need to meet mine. All of a sudden, you'll be like, man, we're really great parents, and our kids are amazing, all right? Our kids are kind of crazy, and I get it. It's hard being cooped up. It's hard if you live alone to be cooped up in your house alone for a while there. And I want to encourage you that whether you believe that the world has overreacted to the virus, or whether you believe that the world has underreacted to the virus. None of us have ever found ourselves in this situation before. So no one in the world has experienced this. So there's no set list. There's no run sheet. There's no book. They haven't written yet a book titled Pandemics for Dummies. It'll be out probably in the next 6 months, but no one has all the answers yet. And so whatever you're doing, however you're feeling, be encouraged. You're not falling apart. You're not the worst. You're just doing your best. Just keep doing your best. Keep your chin up. Stay connected to healthy, encouraging organizations and people like Eternity Church. Lean into your relationship with God. Tune in online to our services every single week and stay encouraged. You are a child of God. You are not alone. You and the Holy Spirit, you got this. They say that God won't allow anything that you can't handle. Number one, God didn't bring the virus. Number two, God won't allow anything that you and the Holy Ghost can't handle. Amen. And you and the Holy Spirit, you got this. You got this. You just keep your chin up. Stay encouraged. Stay connected. You're going to get through this. Amen. So Easter, this is Easter weekend. How exciting, Easter weekend. And Easter is actually the first Easter. It's Passover. The first Passover was thousands of years ago. It's in Exodus chapter 12, and the Israelites found themselves at the first Passover. Passover, what it meant was that death and destruction would pass over them. Not pass over like it would pass over their houses. It would skip their families. It would skip their houses and visit everybody else. They were all in their homes. Everybody was locked up in their homes. Does that sound familiar? No one allowed out. And they were captive. They were actually slaves. And God told them, make a sacrifice. So they killed a lamb as a sacrificial offering to the Lord. And they used its blood to cover the door and the window, to cover the door frames and the windows, the lintels of their homes. And then the angel of the Lord came and destroyed their enemies, destroyed the ones who were holding them captive, destroyed the ones who were oppressing them. But you see, the Passover wasn't just about destroying the enemy. It was about bringing freedom to the Israelites, to God's people. It was about bringing freedom from slavery. It was about victory. It was about the favor of God. Amen. And when it happened, everybody saw the power of our God. And then thousands of years later, at the same time of year, fascinating. Thousands of years later, at the same time at the Passover, Jesus Christ comes to be the perfect and forever sacrifice for our sins. On the Passover, we call it Easter. And Jesus died on the cross. The first Passover, everybody was locked up in their homes. The second, on the first Easter, the whole world went dark as the Savior died on a cross. And now we find ourselves again at the Passover this Easter, celebrating like we do every year the fact that Jesus Christ has come into our lives as the final sacrifice, paid the price for all of our sins, celebrating the incredible power of Jesus Christ to forgive our sins, to heal our bodies, to heal our land, amen, to set us free and to set us up to live a life of favor. And this Easter, we're in perhaps the most unique situation we've ever faced in Easter since Jesus Christ died on the cross. Everybody's shut up in their homes again like that first Passover. The whole world has gone dark like that first Easter, and the devil thinks he's won again. That first Passover, the devil thought he was winning by holding God's people in slavery. He thought he'd won by shutting them up. But then God came and destroyed their enemies. God came and healed them. God came and set them free from the virus of slavery, from the virus of captivity, the virus of isolation and depression and injustice, amen. And then thousands of years later, Jesus comes and walks on the earth again, the Son of God, to show the world that God loves us, that God heals us, that God hears us and sees our suffering. He came to earth through a long line of crazy people. I don't know if you've ever read those first couple of chapters of the book of Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It shows us the long line, the heritage, the family tree of Jesus Christ. And listen to me, it's a long line of psycho people. It's a long line of people that you would never have let babysit your kids 6 weeks ago. Today you might. You'd be like, anyone can take them. It's all good. I don't care. You can look after my kids. But 6 weeks ago, there's hardly anyone in Jesus' family tree that you would let babysit your kids. Jesus could have come anyway. He could have come magically appearing. Not here. Bang, now I'm here. But instead he chose to come through a long line of crazy people. In his family tree, there are good people and bad people. Crazy people. Good crazy. Bad crazy. There's kings, priests, peasants. Righteous and unrighteous. He comes from a line of kings and priests and carpenters, hookers, liars, thieves, murderers, adulterers, rich people, poor people. That's his family. Why would he choose to come from a family like that? Like he comes from a family that's almost as crazy as Tiger King. Nah, that's not true. They are the first family in the history of the world to be that crazy, all right? Come on. But he come from a crazy family. Why? I tell you why. He came from that family so you would know that he's a God for all of us. That he's a God for every one of us. That he's the Savior of all. That anyone who wants a better life can come to him. That anyone who wants freedom can find it in him. That anyone who wants to change their lives can find the power to change their lives in him. That anyone and everyone is welcome to discover their God-given purpose through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then he comes to earth, he's walking on earth, and the world he come to save put him on a cross and killed him. The world goes dark as the hope of the world dies on a cross. Literally, it says that darkness blotted out the sun, and the devil thought he won again. But then Jesus comes running out of the grave, alive, come on, resurrected, freedom, purpose in his hands, prophesying into our lives that no matter who we are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what your family looks like, that no matter what the devil has brought into your life, no matter what your family has brought into your life, no matter what you have brought into your life, he is Savior for all. You can run out of that grave we can come alive again. We will have a resurrection. We will have life and life abundantly. Amen. And nothing that the devil brings can get in the way of God's plans to bring hope and peace and purpose into your life. Nothing. Nothing the devil does can get in the way of God's plan to bless you. Nothing the devil does can get in the way of God's plan for your life. He hears his people. He loves his people. He serves his people. Like the woman. We fast forward a couple of thousand years to today. And we find ourselves at the Passover again, at Easter again, and in the midst of isolation and in the midst of this virus, the enemy thinks he's winning again. If you read scripture, I encourage you to lean into the Word of God in this season. As you lean into the Word of God, you'll see that he's already lost the battle. It's no coincidence that this virus is predicted to decrease after Easter. Isn't that fascinating? That it's predicted to start running away after Easter. Because God hears the prayers of his people. Our God only knows victory. Our God only knows how to win. He's your God, so you'll only know victory. You'll only know winning at the other side of this. You might be sitting in your car and thinking, but I just lost my job. I just lost my job. The story's not over, my friend. You may have lost your job, but it's for a moment. Victory is coming. Victory is coming. And he, just like the Israelites, they came out of their houses free, healed, full of favor, and they were blessed with the riches of their enemy. And just like Jesus come running out of the grave, you are going to come running out of your home soon, very soon, with freedom and victory in your hands. And what the devil meant for harm, you're going to run out of the other side stronger, healthier, physically healthier, spiritually healthier, financially healthier, emotionally healthier. What the devil meant for harm, God is turning into good. God is turning into blessing. God is turning into favor. God is turning a virus into health. God is turning fear into love. Amen. I already see him doing it. I already see him using what the devil meant for harm to draw lost people to hope in Jesus Christ. I see him using neighbors to love neighbors. I see him drawing families back together. I see him drawing families back into the house of God. I see him healing the sick. I see him protecting his bride. I see him protecting your businesses. I see him protecting your family. Because while we wait for the victory, God is still working. He's not only working at the other end. He's not only working in the victory. He's working in the mess. He's working in the mess. I want to pray with you right now. Don't worry, I'm going to walk off in a moment and let you worship. Stop listening to the Aussie who did his hair for the first time in 4 weeks. But before I do, I want to pray for you all. I want to pray for you right now. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, and remember, this is talking about a people that were in sin, but the concept still remains the same for us. The precept that God hears from heaven, forgives and heals, remains the same. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, let me tell you the one difference that we have in this scripture. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, your sins are already forgiven. All we need to do is humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our ways, turn toward him, humble ourselves and say, God, we don't got this. We don't got this. But me and you, me and the Holy Ghost, we got this. God, we need you. You need to pray that souls would be saved. People find hope in Jesus. We need to pray for the scientists. We need to pray for our leaders. Pray for our churches. Pray for our finances. Pray for our families. Pray for our friends. Pray for our enemies. And pray for the victory. So right now, I encourage every person in every car to lift up your hands. In an act of humility, in an act of surrender, lift up your hands. And I'm going to pray. And at the end of it, I want you to say amen and honk that horn just to let us all know that you're saying, I agree. I'm in an amen with this prayer. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand here and we sit here in our cars, online, and here in person, God, and we humble ourselves and admit we do not have all the answers. But God, we turn to you. We turn to you who said, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and life abundantly. God, today we lay a hold of that promise that you are the life giver. We lay a hold of the promise that says you have plans only to bless us. We lay a hold of the promise that says you are the one who brings the victory. We lay a hold of the promise that says you're the Prince of Peace and the Holy Spirit is the great comforter. And we ask you to come and protect our families, protect our businesses, protect our churches, protect us. Set us free from the grip of this virus and its fear. We ask you to set us up for favor, set us up for victory, set us up for blessing. And I pray and declare that every single one of us will walk out of this mess with the devil's loot in our hands, saying, I saw a victory, and what the enemy meant for harm, God has turned into good. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare it over every family in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and honk that horn if you receive that. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God is going to heal our land. God is going to bring a breakthrough. God is bringing a victory. Amen. And you are going to see it with your eyes. You're going to tell the story for many years how the whole world went crazy. And on Easter, we all prayed. And we saw a victory. Victory over the virus, victory over fear, victory over poverty, victory over unemployment, victory over death. We're on the edge of victory, my friends. Come on, we're on the edge of victory. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, I encourage you to give him your life right now. I think I've talked enough about the goodness of God and why you need God in your life. Scripture says that all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. It does mean, though, that those who aren't in a relationship with God, it doesn't work out for your benefit. But there is one way that you can walk out of any drama and any pressing with a victory in your hand, and that is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Give your life to Jesus Christ with me right now. I'm going to pray a prayer. You need to repeat it after me. And we're going to trust that he's going to take away the shame of your mistakes, the shame of the things that other people did to you or around you, things that were your fault or someone else's fault. But shame is going to leave your life today. I need you to pray this prayer with me right now. Everybody, repeat after me in every car, because you don't know who's saved and who's not. After this week, some of you are questioning the salvation of your own spouse. So let's all pray this prayer together in a bold and loud voice. Amen. Come on. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin, and he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness, and I receive this new life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I commit my life to you, and I ask you to help me to live it the way you designed it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer, I just need you to do two things for me. If you prayed that prayer, please text the word SAVED, S-A-V-E-D, to the number 25827. Text the word SAVED to the number 25827, and you're going to receive a great gift in the mail this week. We are obsessed with generosity. We will not let a contraction of finances stop us from being generous. We will not let an inability to meet together to stop us from being generous. We will not let a virus or fear stop us from being generous. We're going to send you a gift in the mail. It's a great gift. You're going to love it. So text the word SAVED to number 25827. God bless you. Right now, I'm going to step off this thing, and we're going to worship. I encourage you to stick around just 5 more minutes. A couple of things we want you to know that you can do as well before you go, though. If you want to give your tithes and offerings, please text the word ETERNITY to the... Yeah, good. That's a big, big, big check coming from that person. You can text the word ETERNITY to the number 77977. You can also mail checks to 8980 Hickman Road, Suite 200 in Clyde. Or you can drop off a gift in the bucket on your way out on the left lane today. So please do that as well. We just appreciate your generosity. You can also go to myeternity.com/give. But right now, though, I want you to be reminded, please take a bag of food for someone if you know someone who needs a bag of food. Or if you want some, take it for yourself. God bless you. I declare that you will see a victory with your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.